First, this is, of course, July 4th weekend, though tomorrow is July 5th, so our daily Mass will be at its normal time, preceded by confessions, so Mass at 5:30 and confessions at 4:45. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. During Holy Week, every year, priests in every diocese on the face of the planet gather around their bishop for a special Mass. Many deacons and even many faithful lay people come for this once in a year Mass to celebrate. During the Mass, the priests will renew their promises they made at their ordination. It's also at this Mass that the bishop blesses three oils that are used in the sacraments. They are afterwards distributed from there, that Mass, to every parish in the entire diocese, showing that great unity that we have around our apostle, the bishop, successor to the apostles. One of these three oils is an oil called sacred chrism. It is specially consecrated, different from the other two, as the major anointing oil. In fact, because of its importance, the Mass itself is often called the Chrism Mass. Now, the word chrism derives from the Greek, which means anointed. Same word for Messiah, right? So you should connect the word Christ with chrism, the anointed one, Christ, with chrism, the anointing oil. It's also the only oil that we have used for the sacraments that is perfumed with balsam. Balsam comes from the sap of certain trees, and we as a church have used it for over 2,000 years, though it goes back even further. Chrism is, of course, used on the forehead of those who are being confirmed. We have recently confirmed right in our presence here. It's used during the sacred rites of ordination to anoint the head of a bishop and the hands of a priest, setting them aside for special service. And importantly, for this homily, it's used at baptism to anoint the crown of every child's head. Parents often have remarked to me how wonderful their baby's head smells after the baptism, so much they don't want to wash it. But they're good parents, so they do, don't worry. Now, it is this anointing that I would like to briefly focus on. These are the words that are used. God now anoints you with the chrism of salvation so that you may remain as a member of Christ, priest, prophet, and king unto eternal life. Now, if you were an infant, you didn't choose for this to happen. That's true. Instead, as I've said before, and I'll repeat until I die, it's true, you didn't choose it. Instead, you were chosen by God. Your faith is not an accident. It is not accidental that you were baptized a Catholic Christian. God has chosen this for you. Remember what Jesus said, "It is not you who chose me, but I who chose you." And I realize that sounds very un-American, doesn't it, right? That we were chosen, but that's why we're there. And if we allow ourselves, it's actually beautiful. He has chosen you, the reason we are here. And one of those three things mentioned as we were anointed for was prophet. Now, isn't it beautiful that through this anointing, prophets are no longer just one or two people in history. We are all now part of this, each in our own way. Each in our own calling, we become the prophet to our family, prophet to our place of work, prophet wherever we go. We are sent. Now, what is a prophet? A prophet is one chosen by God who speaks for God, not for oneself. Chosen by God to speak for God, to speak God's words. Ezekiel, in our first reading, he didn't choose to be a prophet. God chose him. And he prepared Ezekiel for a tough mission, to be the Lord's spokesperson to a rebellious house, a rebellious people, he calls them, who are not inclined to listen. And that sounds like most of the world, doesn't it? In today's gospel, St. Mark describes the reception of Jesus in his own hometown of Nazareth and his message while visiting his hometown. Like that of a prophet, the reception can be summed up in one word: unwelcomed. Unwelcomed message. But he speaks the truth anyway. The truth must always be spoken, even if no one would listen, if no one would hear. Of course, Jesus is more than a prophet. He is the eternal Word of God made flesh. Jesus doesn't just bring a message. He is the message. He is the Word that we are called to speak. He's the message the prophets are called to bring. At the end of the Gospels, Jesus sends out his apostles into the world. Famously, in the end of St. Matthew's Gospel, which we have the beginning of it around our baptismal font right here, Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age." Friends, at some point in our lives, even if we were baptized as an infant, we have to become like a convert. We have to accept this faith. We have to allow the message, the person of Jesus Christ, and the grace of his sacraments to fully enter our hearts and minds and souls to transform us. We have to make a choice, a willing choice, to take on our calling as prophet, one who speaks for God. And this is a free choice. Though he's chosen you, he will not force you. If we freely take on this name of Christian, a disciple of Jesus, we also take on his mission. Remember, we're not there to promote ourselves. We're there to promote the one for whom we are speaking, to bear God's message, to make it known. Recall that the word for church, that word in the gospel is ekklesia. It literally means called out of. We as a church called out of this building to proclaim, called out of ourselves, out of our egos, our own plans and own desires, to preach a message that's beyond us. But God has chosen you for it anyway. You were literally anointed for this purpose, anointed with the sacred chrism to be God's prophet. Keep in mind, however, something that's fundamental to being a prophet. God is sending with you a message that people probably don't want to hear. But the truth still must be spoken for those who will hear it. You have enough converts in this room right here to remind you how powerful it can be when someone spreads the faith, when someone speaks, even though they're not sure if anyone is listening, when someone is not afraid to speak about the faith. It's the reason I'm standing in front of you, and I know countless others as well. Because sometimes that word does fall on fertile ground, and it changes a person's life forever. And God has chosen you to help change lives. But we also have to ask this important question of ourselves. Are we open to hearing God's truth? So much we talk about being open-minded. Well, are we open to hearing the truth? Hearing the truth of God? A truth that often doesn't coincide with a more comfortable life that we might like. For instance, the truths revealed in our catechism, then beautifully laid out, black and white, those truths are not wrong. And if we just pick through the things we agree with, as they're as taught in our faith, it's not the church who's wrong. It is the individual, us. The church teaches Christ. Her teachings are his teachings, period. Jesus gave her authority to teach. He said to the apostles, "Whoever hears you, hears me." God didn't give this authority to you or me personally, or to any one individual, but to the church, so that she could proclaim her spouse, Jesus Christ. You don't want me to stand up here and tell you my opinions. It would just be one opinion among many, and your grandmothers and grandfathers and uncle. I'm here to preach the church, to preach a message that's not my own. And why should I listen to your personal opinion on a matter of faith covered in our catechism if it differs from what the larger church has taught for 2,000 years? Would the Holy Spirit really just inspire one person to go against the entire whole truth and lead astray over 1.2 billion other people? So let's go deeper. What went wrong at Nazareth when Jesus went to visit his hometown? Why was he rejected? One key to understanding this is this. The people in the synagogue objected to Jesus because they felt they already knew all about him. He had grown up there. What more could they really know about him? Familiarity breeds contempt. Who does he think he is? We know his family. He should be coming to us to listen to our preaching. They might have even said something like, "I remember when he was a little boy about this high, and he was certainly not that smart then," right? In a word, they think they already have all the answers. And by doing that, they make themselves unteachable. We don't want to be a people unteachable when it comes to the things of God, to those things that matter about our eternal salvation. Now, are we unteachable? You and I have to be mature enough and have a faith mature enough to ask these hard questions of ourselves. As we reflect on freedom, we also reflect on the idea of freedom from sin, freedom from all the things God has come to set us free for. God has so much to tell us, so much to teach us, but we have to, number one, be humble, be teachable, and number two, make the time to pray and study the faith. Now, we've made it easy, or about as easy as we can in our parish, to bring extra things for you to study the faith in a thing we have called Formed. It is totally free to you, and it has tons of information on the sacraments and answering questions that we have. We sometimes, though, avoid looking up the answers, right? Because we don't want to know the truth. A person can be a first-class surgeon or a top-flight lawyer or a high-ranking architect and still be little more than a kindergarten Catholic in terms of knowledge of faith. Once, this was years ago, I was at a small gathering and there was a very brilliant man who was there. And he'd done wonderful things in companies and everything. And yet he told me, "Well, you know, I just don't believe like the purgatory thing and all of that." And so I asked him, "Well, what do you understand about purgatory?" And then he told me what his understanding was and how silly it was. And I said, "Well, my goodness, if the church taught that, I wouldn't believe it either." What he was giving me was stuff that we'd often kind of give images for in second grade. But he had not really studied the faith to find out the why of it. Answers to our faith questions are available if we're open. Answers to all the objections we have are there and are available. Ways to grow and deepen your friendship with Christ are there for prayer and study. Do not let Jesus be amazed at our lack of faith. Show him you can learn. Show him you are still humble. You are still teachable. That you are open to the truth of the message, which is himself, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.